Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 9, which is a total surprise to me because I was told that I was going to give class on 7. So here we go. No, that's fine. So it's Text 9. Barisat sumaha bhagho Avidani Prajapati Kriyakandeshu Nisnato Yogeshu Chad Kurudvaha Barhisat Samaha Bhagho Avidani Prajapati Kriyakandeshu Nisnato Yogeshu Chakuru Dvadha Bahisat Samuha Bhagho Avadani Prajapati Kriyakandeshu Nishnato Yogeshu Chakuru Dvadha Actually, Bhujan Prabhu mentioned one time that it's actually better if first the senior people do the verse and then the children. And similarly applies to the ladies as well. So first the senior ladies should do and then the girls should do. Is that okay? Sababish Bahisat of the name Bahishat. Sumaha Bhaga. Very fortunate. Haridani, the name of Haridani. Prajapati, the post of Prajapati. Kriyakandeshu, in the matter of fruitive activities. Nishnata, being merged in. Yogeshu, in the mystic yoga practices. Cha, also. Kuru Udava, our best of the Kurus. Vidura. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, Havirdana, a very powerful son named Barishtat, was very expert in performing various kinds of fruitive sacrifices, and he was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualifications, he became known as a Prajapati. Translation responsibly, the great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, Havidana's very powerful son, named Bahishat, was very expert in performing various kinds of fruitive sacrifices. He was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualifications, he became known as the Prajapati. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of the creation, there were not so many living entities, and consequently the very powerful living entities or demigods were appointed as Prajapatis in order to beget children and increase the population. There are many Prajapatis. Brahma, Daksha and Manu are sometimes known as Prajapatis, and Barishat, the son of Haridan, became one of them. Om Agyana Timiranda Syaganandjana Salakaya Chakshura Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhaveyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhi Vaishnaveva Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya. So as I said, I was supposed to give a talk on the other chapters, but this is really interesting. This is that lineage that's going on, that's being described now by Maitreya Rishi. Prior to that, we heard the pastimes of Maharaj Antardhana, the disappearing king. And he was also expert in these different performances of sacrifices. It was mentioned before how Aniruddha was explaining yesterday in yesterday's class how he was fed up with doing the different duties that were incumbent upon a king. And so he gave it up and he retired and became a great devotee of the Lord. He was a great devotee of the Lord. Consequently, then we heard of the son of Maharaj Antardhana. What's up? The son of Maharaj Antardhana was Haridhana. And Haridhana also was a great king. And then the next lineage after that is now this king, who became a great Barishat, who became a great Prajapati. And a Prajapati is a progenitor. Their job is to create these little guys, and lots of them. So we may have a family of two or three or four, but they had families of thousands. They produced children. And this was an amazing thing. So in each way, either Maharaj Antardhana were using their intelligence to do their duty. So it was this person's duty, this great devotee, to be a Prajapati in the line of the universe. He had to do this duty. So I was going to talk a little bit about duty. So it still makes sense how in this purports, how Maitreya Rishi is continuing to show how these kings were performing their particular duties, things that they had to do. And it's mentioned throughout. Actually, the next verse is probably one of the best verses. I kind of missed out because this, who's ever doing the verse tomorrow, it's got a real beauty coming up. This is where Prabhupada actually prophesies where Krishna consciousness is going to take over the world. And when Krishna consciousness, when everybody starts chanting Hare Krishna around the world, then the world will be, Prabhupada says, the world will be very, very happy. So this is an indication or a prophecy. Prabhupada makes a prophecy that this is going to happen. But anyway, here we've got this verse where this Maharaj, Antardhana, Barishat, was now having to do this duty. So I was going to start talking a little bit about duty. So it takes intelligence, transcendental intelligence, to render devotional service and still do one's duty. As we heard in the previous verses, we had Maharaj Antardhana retiring. But in Krishna consciousness, actually, there's no such thing as retiring. No such thing. Prabhupada is the perfect example of that. He never retired preaching and rendering service to people. He was always occupied thinking of how can I best spread this Krishna consciousness. So the devotees here in Melbourne at the moment are very busy and intelligently working very hard for this movement. Some of the brahmacharis, you may not see many brahmacharis, and some of the other boys that are living in the ashram, you might not see them around at the moment, but they're desperately trying to set up a new Crossways facility in the city. It is taking a mammoth effort. We not only have to move out of one venue, but we have to move into another venue. And that venue, by all accounts, was a complete write-off. It was a restaurant previously, but the council had said that this is just the most out-of-it restaurant. And so the devotees have been having to work very hard cleaning it all up. It was a grease ball. It was just dirty. And for us to move in there, we have to really work very hard. So these boys are working very hard for Krishna, and they're doing it as a matter of duty. So there's no retiring in Krishna consciousness. no retirement whatsoever. And we have to use our intelligence, always thinking of Krishna in our daily activities. When we have duties to do, we should always think of Krishna in different ways. Recently, I was also fortunate to actually be able to go on a pension, a part pension. I've reached that age where people say you should go into retirement. And so I've taken up that pension partially. And I've also then had an opportunity to work a shorter amount of time for Melbourne Temple in my service as communications officer. And usually you do more than your allotted time, but basically speaking, it allows me time to also do some things that I wanted to do in my devotional service. Using my intelligence, using the gifts that I've been given by Krishna, somehow or other we want to do something else. And so I'll still be working very much for the temple, but I'll also be working on a project which is very dear to me. I've been meditating on this project for many, many years. Some of you may know that, you know, before I became a devotee, I was studying at university in fine art, in painting. So utilizing my skills in that, over the years I've been wanting to do an exhibition. So now is the time for me to be able to do something like that. So in front of the deities and in front of the Vaishnavas, I'm making a commitment that I want to develop an exhibition, 18 paintings depicting the Bhagavad Gita in a contemporary way, and having that exhibition travelling around and being able to preach from those paintings. So this is, again, and retirement for a devotee is just a word that we don't recognise at all. Generally, if you talk to a materialist, you know, like, and you say, oh, I'm retiring, they say, oh, great, that means I can play lawn bowls and I can sit and watch movies and I can do... But that's not for us. We're constantly thinking, even though our bodies may not be as strong as they used to be, we still very much want to be engaged in service to the Lord. So this is right up to the end. Prabhupada was a perfect example of that, of how right to the very end, the last breath, he was still translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right to the last breath. So this is encouraging, it's enthusing for us, and we do this in different ways. So Prabhupada, there's a quote from Prabhupada that I wanted to give. The occupational activities of a man or woman performs according to his own position are only useless labor if they do not provide attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So in whatever we do, whatever occupation we have to put Krishna first. We have to somehow or other incorporate Krishna. So retirement in Krishna consciousness, there's no such thing. Krishna consciousness is actually a family business. You know, we are all family, actually. When a person joins this Krishna consciousness movement, there's a different relationship that happens. You know, you may have your work colleagues and so on and so forth, but you always remain a little distant from work colleagues. But when one joins the Hare Krishna movement, people become so close to you that they're like family members. And it's really... She's a real little girl. God, she's grown up so quickly. So it becomes like a family, and this is a family business that we inherit. So as one person steps down or does something else, somebody else takes over. And so it goes on. This is what happens. So in retirement, sometimes we have the opportunity to travel to holy places, to visit holy places. And just recently, I've been so enthused, and I recommend it wholeheartedly to everybody. I've been so enthused. I'm reading this book by Kadambakanan, His Holiness Kadambakanan Maharaj, Under the Desire Trees. If I can give a little plug for that, it is a fantastic book. It is so Maharaj. It's him. And he describes how traveling to the different places within Vrindavan and how it enlivens him. But one of the things that he says right at the very beginning, Vrindavan is where you are at this present stage. So when we enter this temple here, this is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan consciousness is what we strive for. So we have that Vrindavan consciousness when we constantly hear and chant the holy names of the Lord. We constantly, with intelligence, we constantly bring our lives around to constantly serve Krishna, somehow or another. If we're working for somebody, we understand that the wages that we get are utilized in service to Krishna by looking after our family, bringing up our family in a nice Krishna-conscious way, by giving something towards the temple so the temple and the preaching can keep on going, and so on and so forth. So our real boss is Krishna. Our boss isn't that person that's sitting in the office above us. Our boss is Krishna, and we always see that. This is very much important. We have a level of duty. Our duty, first and foremost, is to our Guru Maharaj. Whoever we've chosen to be our mentor, to be our spiritual guide, that is our first duty. And if our spiritual master asks us to do a specific thing, to the best of our abilities, we should do that and follow through with that. The other area that an area where we take on different duties is the temple authorities. If the temple authorities, the temple where we are, is asking us to do a particular service, then we do that. Just as here, you know, we have the story here of the Maharaj here, Haridan's son, Barishat. He's been asked to do this particular service. He was very expert in it. Hey, you guys. You have to be quiet in class. Otherwise, you just have to go outside, okay? So he was having to do a particular duty. So the duties are very, very important. The other duty that we have is our duty towards our families. Generally speaking, within the Krishna consciousness movement, it's a family-orientated movement. In the early days, it was a lot more brahmachari, brahmacharini sort of movement, but now as we've progressed over the years, it's now grihastha, basically a grihastha community. So we have all individual families. So we have duties to our family. And I wanted to talk a little bit about duties in family life. And it's pertinent even with Maharaj Barishat, who was, you know, a powerful prajapati, which means he was a powerful householder. He was producing so many children. I wanted to talk a little bit about our duty to our family, householders in Krishna consciousness. In that area, we must consider all personalities within the family, in the household. And by that I mean we have to be very considerate and not exploit or use our partners in marriage, in the household, or exploit or use our children. Srila Prabhupada actually confirmed that our first and foremost duty in Krishna consciousness, if you are a grihastha, is your duty to your family. Your duty to the family is first and foremost. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. So we have it sometimes, especially in the early days, where there was a level of fanaticism, where people said, I have to be a pure devotee, I have to be a very good devotee, and there was a neglect of the family unit, either by the man or by the woman. And consequently, what happened is there were, at that time, a lot of breakups, a lot of divorces, and there wasn't a stability in marital relationships. Consequently, the children were very much disturbed, and they didn't see a harmonious sphere in the home, and consequently, the children also were not interested in Krishna consciousness. This is the situation. Now we've grown. Krishna consciousness has grown. So we have to be really mindful that somehow or other we have to make sure that our families are looked after. The husband's role and the wife's role are to make sure that the children see a harmonious sphere in the home front. It has to be Krishna conscious, but in the same token it has to be harmonious and a loving relationship. Not that one can be aloof from marital affairs. So this is important. We're obliged, obviously, to chant our 16 rounds every day. We have to do that. More if we can. It's great if we can do more. But not at the detriment of duty. So Srila Prabhupada says, work first and samadhi later, right? So this is in effect. He's given the minimum amount that we need to go back home, back to Godhead. Chanting 16 rounds with attention every single day is enough. If we want to chant more and we have the opportunity to chant more, we should. But he was saying, work first, samadhi later. So that work first means that you have your children and your family and your colleagues and everything to work with. Stories from the past were really, people were sometimes very enthusiastic to chant even more rounds than they needed to, with the detriment to other people. We had instances where, you know, people would be asked to do a particular service and the person would now say, oh, I'm sorry, Prabhu, but I'm chanting 30 rounds today. You know, I've made a commitment to chant 30 rounds. But we would say, now listen, Prabhu, we have to do this work. You know, we can't survive unless we all put in. If everybody said, well, you know, we want to chant 30 rounds, what would happen? So the thing is that we have to see and follow the instructions of our spiritual master and just chant the amount that we need. And then when there is an opportunity, some relaxation time that we can chant extra, so be it. On the other hand, that by working for Krishna on the order of the spiritual master, even if there's some neglect of personal sadhana, hearing and chanting, some people say success in spiritual life is assured. So we have the situation sometimes where people, like say for example, the boys are currently working at Crossways and they're working so very, very hard. Some may say, well, I'm working so very hard, I just didn't have time to chant my rounds. That's not right either. When we say work first, samadhi later, I'm being engaged so much that I can't fulfill my commitment to chant 16 rounds. I've got so much on my plate today, Prabhu. I've had to work so hard at the office, I can't chant. And I'm sure that Krishna is merciful and he understands that I would have done it if I could, but I can't. That's not also what Prabhupada meant about work now, samadhi later. You know, we have to be really mindful and understand that we've made a promise to the spiritual master, to Krishna, that we will chant these 16 rounds on a daily basis. So we diligently have to do as best we can. Now when Prabhupada says, work first, samadhi later, he meant, yeah, we do our obligation of chanting 16 rounds, we chant our Gayatris, we do what's necessary, but then the duty comes in as well. We work hard for Krishna. We work hard for Krishna, but we don't miss out on chanting our rounds. We also have to work hard at chanting our rounds. So that means we have to set aside a particular time every day that we're chanting good rounds. Good rounds. Really listening to the holy name of the Lord. Understanding that this is a meditation. I've mentioned this before. We have to see our japa as a meditation, which then leads on to, well, Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later, which will lead... Hare Krishna. Hey, that's a bit better. I don't know. Somebody set it up and left. I thought it was on. Okay, is that a better? Shall I start from the beginning? So, in our work for Srila Prabhupada, in our work for Krishna, we have to really diligently... be mindful about sense gratification. Sense gratification is out there. And when sense gratification means basically selfishness. I want this for me. I want to do something for myself. I want to gratify my senses. Now we as devotees promise to remove ourselves from sense gratification. We don't want to be part of sense gratification. Just as it was mentioned yesterday. But there's a difference actually. I have to mention. Yes, we avoid sense gratification, but we still need sense satisfaction. We're in this material body, we're in this material world, we need sense gratification, sense satisfaction. We don't need gratification. It was interesting that Anuruddha Prabhu yesterday was mentioning about the cold showers. Was anybody here yesterday in class?
Yeah.
Right. And he was mentioning how in the early days we used to have cold showers here, and he would go home and have a warm shower, and the only way he would come to the temple is if they made arrangements to have a warm shower. That's in a sense satisfaction for him to do his service. So this carries on as well, and Rameshwara was very intelligent. He could see, actually, it was Harisori Prabhu who was the first one and said, no, they've got to have cold showers, that's austerity. So then Rameshwara said, well, you're never going to keep people if you're going to have cold showers. You know, people need a nice warm shower, and, you know. So they made that arrangement for sense satisfaction. So in another way, there are some satisfactions we need in our daily life. We can eat gruel every day. We could eat like a tasteless khichdi every day, but we would soon become very bored with that. So we need really yummy prasadam on a regular basis, sense satisfaction. When we have yummy prasadam, guess what? People come to the temple. People come to Crossways. People come to Gopals. You know, I meet so many people on a regular basis, day in, day out. People of all different walks of life through interfaith, and you ask them, do you know anything about the Hare Krishna movement? Oh yes, we go to Gopals. Did you like Gopals? Oh, we love Gopals. Another lady I recently met, she's an older lady now, but she said, during my student years, we would go to Crossways all the time. And I always loved Crossways. And I used to take my children to Crossways, and my children would always, oh, do we have to go? Doing. But it's amazing when it happens, isn't it? All of a sudden, my God, it's Krishna in my dream. What was your dream? Can you remember? Yeah, but it was really nice, right? You woke up and you think, wow, I remember Krishna came in my dream. So if you had a really hard bed and you couldn't sleep properly, you wouldn't think of Krishna. You wouldn't dream of Krishna. So we need a nice comfy bed. Simple thing. Sense satisfaction. Those are the things that we need. We need to play. Just like the kids here were playing. We need a level of play sometimes in our lives. We can't be just rules and regulations and rigid all the time. There are sometimes we need a little frivolity in our life. And it can be a Krishna conscious frivolity. You know, we can play a game with one another. There's nothing wrong with that. You maintain a Krishna consciousness. You can have a nice kirtan going in the back. I know sometimes we go to our friend's place and we play table tennis. Just that interaction. Lord Krishna used to play chess with the Pandavas. They used to play chess together. We used to play card games with our kids. You know, and if somebody lost, they would have to give something to another person, a little bit of prasadam to someone else. You can make anything Krishna conscious. Any game you can make in Krishna conscious. But there has to be some fun in our lives. We have to have humor. You have to have laughter. We used to do these plays back in the early years. Some of you have seen them. We're hoping that we're going to put them on YouTube very soon. But they were fun plays. But more, and it was fun at the actual play, and people used to fall off their chairs in laughter because they were Krishna-conscious plays that were funny. Even our guru at that stage, he thought it was so funny. He was sitting on an asana. At that stage, our spiritual master used to have an asana sitting up and the temple president be sitting, and we used to do the play. And they laughed so much that they rolled off their chairs. And we from the stage, we saw that this was happening, and we were pleasing our senior devotees, our mentors, our leaders, with happiness. We need to laugh. Devotees need to laugh. You can't be too serious all the time. We need to laugh. We have to have humor. So we used to do these plays that were really fun to do. It was fun even more so than it was fun more doing the rehearsals with the other devotees than it was to actually do the actual production. Like, you know, the first time we did a play called Hansel and Gretel, and we dressed up Korma as a nun, you know, and he looked so good as a nun. You know, he had his big face, and then it was like encapsulated in this nun's habit. And when we saw it for the first time, we rolled around in laughter, seeing him look like that. Or the another one was that we convinced Aniruddha Prabhu to dress up in drag, to dress up as a woman, a Spanish dancer, right? So we got the outfit for him, and he dressed him up, and he had Spanish hair and a flower, and he had to dance like in a Spanish sort of way. Well, we cracked up. We just laugh so much, you know. So it's good to laugh in Krishna consciousness. It's good to have friendships in Krishna consciousness. This is another thing. We need to socialize with one another. Go to each other places. Visit each other. Socialize with one another. Have relationships. Have solid relationships. Help each other out. When there's difficulties, be the listening person in confidence. Hear their different difficulties and help them out if you can. We need to be loved and we need to love. We can't be islands. You know, there was that song by Simon and Garfunkel back in the 70s, I am a rock, I am an island. That's not a devotee. You remember that song? That's not a devotee. A devotee is giving, is loving, is compassionate. That should be there within our friendships. It should be there within the families. Our children want to see a loving relationship between husband and wife. Not that we're stoic sort of people and people are just like, no, we're Krishna conscious. We don't touch, we don't hold hands, we don't do anything. That's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that you interact with one another lovingly. And so then the children see, oh, mum and dad love each other. Mum and dad share Krishna consciousness and a loving relationship together. I want that in my life because it's an innate need in all of us to love and be loved. And if our children don't see that in our relationships with our partners, then they start to feel, this is not for me, because they don't see the example of the mother and father. So we need to have friendships. We need to have loves in our life. And ultimately we know Krishna is the Supreme Person and we have to work hard at that, to make Krishna the sole direction in our life. But in the same token, we have to be mindful in other things as well. Just like, say, for example, as far as friendship is concerned and companionship, everybody knows Nrisimha Kavacha here, right? Nrisimha Kavacha is the ministry for deity worship. And he tirelessly travels all over the world and he tells the pujaris what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. You're not doing this properly with the deities over here. You're not doing that right. You could do this better, like that. So Nrisimha Kavacha is known worldwide for his dedication. He works hard. He works hard for Krishna. So recently, while he was in London, he felt a little pain in his tummy and he felt dizzy. And friends of his said, you better go to the doctor straight away because this is not good. He went to the doctor and they found out he had a huge tumour in his stomach, which needed to be looked at straight away. It was so Krishna's arrangement. If he would have waited one more day, he would have been on a plane to Australia back with this tumour, and if that would have happened then, he would have died on the plane. So somehow or other, Krishna made the arrangements that the doctors were there to help him in London and all that kind of stuff. And then they looked after him really well. The temple authorities looked after him. But because it was a private medical condition, private practice, the doctors had to look after him that were in a private practice, it was going to cost something like in the vicinity of £10,000 for him to have the operation to, number one, remove the tumour and to have it diagnosed whether it's benign or malignant. So anyway, he said, well, what can I do? So his Guru Maharaj said, don't worry about anything. We'll straight away put it on Facebook and we do a crowdfunding for him. And same here, Judd Bharat and the temple authorities also straight away, because he was a Melbourne devotee. He joined up here in Melbourne. You know, Nisringa Kavacha was, we have so many great devotees that have sprung from Melbourne Temple. Did you know that? So many great devotees, people that have opened up temples in Jaipur, people that are the CEO of the Vedic Planetarium in Mayapur, Sadbhush Prabhu, Melbourne devotee. So Nisringa Kavacha, who is the minister for the whole of the world about deity worship, probably the most important service, looking after the deities, straight away his Guru Maharaj said, don't worry about it, we'll raise the funds. Within 24 hours, £10,000 was raised for his medical needs. And the letters of support, I spoke to him on the phone the other day, and the letters of support that he got, he said, I can't believe the love and the goodwill and compassion that devotees have got for me. He said, I had no idea. I didn't know people thought of me that way. But when the chips are down, the devotees actually express, because we're a family. If something happens to a family member, we straight away go for that and look after them. You know. So he was astounded. He was just completely amazed how much love there was for him. Just an aside for that, he was telling me, because, okay, he's the minister of deity worship, right? So this specialist, this surgeon that's going to do the surgery for him, guess what his name is? His name is Krishnamurti. Krishna is a joker. He likes to have a little joke every now and again. You know, he just told Nisringa Kavacha, yeah, the surgeon that's going to operate on you, his name is Krishnamurti. So Krishna's right there, you know, right there. So it's really interesting. So we're still in these material bodies and there's a need for a level of self-satisfaction. But that can be achieved in the realm of Krishna consciousness. When we're Krishna consciousness, we can achieve that. So again, Prabhupada says this quote, one should discharge one's duty on Krishna's behalf and all other actions will be saturated in Krishna's thought. The highest pattern of trance is spiritual realization. So don't be too hung up about material world. If you see it in the eyes of a Krishna conscious person, you can enjoy different aspects of the material world. You know, it's not that when you go to a beautiful landscape or a beautiful garden or something that we say, oh, this is all Maya. Don't say that. Instead say, isn't Krishna wonderful? How he's created this beautiful creation. Isn't Krishna amazing? Just look at those beautiful trees. Look at this. You know, when we travel, we don't just sit in our hotel room and chant. Go and see Krishna's creation. You know, that doesn't mean that we have to go to the negative places, but go to the positive, creative places. Recently, when Bhakti and I were in Europe, you know, we visited so many beautiful places. Similarly, Aniruddha and Achintyarupa just came back from seeing different places in Europe. You know, they're astounding how old buildings were built. Just amazing how people have used their intelligence to build beautiful cathedrals for Krishna. You know, how people have built these wonderful gardens, how beautiful nature is as far as the beautiful hills and so many things. If we're blind to those things, we're blind to Krishna's being everywhere. Krishna's in everything. And you have enjoyment for that. When you see a beautiful thing, it enlivens you. You can enjoy it in sense gratificatory way, or you can enjoy it in a sense satisfaction way. In a sense satisfaction way is you see Krishna behind it. Wow, isn't this beautiful? It looks so gorgeous. We went to different galleries because of being an artist. You see a gallery and you go and see different works of art. And you think, wow, the power of that person to be able to perceive Krishna's creation like that. You see a wonderful painting by Vincent van Gogh or Rembrandt or someone, or you go to the Sistine Chapel and you see the beautiful painting on the Sistine Chapel, and you're just blown out. How could these people have done this? This Krishna's energy working through them. So it's appreciation of Krishna's material energy and understanding that this is simply a fraction of the beauty that's there in the spiritual world. This is maintaining a Krishna conscious attitude all the time. Thereby, it's no longer a sense gratificatory thing, it's a sense satisfaction thing because it's linked to Krishna. Does that make sense? So there are five kinds of different in the previous verse, and this is what I mentioned here. Actually, I don't need to go through that because in the previous verse, the verse I was going to give, they were talking about the five kinds of liberation. The other thing I wanted to mention was the Sankirtan Jagya. This Sankirtan Jagya, this chanting of Hare Krishna, and as Prabhupada says in the next verse, is going to be the thing that is going to save humanity. I don't know if anybody has seen it at the moment, there is a really well-documented YouTube clip done by a devotee about the progress of Kali Yuga. Has anybody seen that one on Facebook? And this devotee, he's a senior devotee in Mayapur, and he did it in a pictorial way. If you get an opportunity, he goes through all the lineages of the kings, just like we're going through here, through Maitreya is pointing out to Vidura all the different kings and what they did. So he actually goes right from the birth of, from the passing away of Lord Krishna and the start of the Kali Yuga, who the kings were. Then there was Parikit and like that, right? And then he starts to point out from the Bhavisha Purana and all the different other Puranas what is happening in the Kali Yuga. And different things are predicted. Like number one was, actually it was really interesting, in the Bhavisha Purana there is the story of Adam and Eve, which I never knew before. And there's the story of Lord Jesus as well, that he came and he was preaching to the people of Palestine. It's all there in our scriptures. And then it also goes on to describe how in this age there will be a great personality that will bring this Vedic knowledge to the Western world, Jaya Srila Prabhupada, right? And then it goes on. And it says that in due course of time in this Kali Yuga, which is an age of ignorance and hypocrisy, iron and hypocrisy, in this age there will be a bubble of Satya Yuga for 10,000 years. So we're in the 500 and something years of that Satya Yuga now. And you can see it. Things are changing. But he said there's a polarity. There's a polarity of positivity and there's a polarity of negativity. And at one stage during the Kali Yuga, they cross over. And then from there, Krishna consciousness takes off and the world becomes Krishna conscious. Everybody happily chants Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada says they will be very, very happy. So we don't know exactly when that time is, but we can see it already if you have a look at the news. There's incredible positivity, but there's also incredible negativity. In the positivity, you see so many people becoming vegetarian. So many people are becoming concerned about animal rights. So many people are becoming concerned about equality for mankind, that there's no exploitation of the different sexes, that there's less crime, that people are into meditation and learning about spirituality, that science is coming to the point of understanding that we're not these material bodies, which wasn't there 20 or 25 years ago. 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, the scientists were saying God is dead. Now through quantum physics, they're saying actually there is a supreme controlling power, which we can't understand, but the Vedas have been saying this for centuries. So all of a sudden this positivity is rising up even in the scientific community. But on another point, there are so many negative things coming as well. In another area, all the religions are coming together where I'm working in interfaith. The different faith traditions are starting to respect one another, coming together and actually talking to one another, understanding there is a common father for all of us, common father and mother, which is Krishna. We call him Krishna, some other people call him by a different name. And that's fine. Prabhupada said that's fine. That now there's a time that we're actually coming together, that we can worship together. You've got no idea how wonderful that is when you get an opportunity to worship with other people of different faiths. They're worshiping the same Lord as you, but in a different tradition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur kept saying, when I'm in another place of worship, I simply think of you and I see that they are worshipping you in a different way and you are appreciating that. So in this age, instead of having separate little groups of different faith traditions, people are coming together. This is the strength, the power of the 21st century, and that's that bubble of Satya Yuga. And we as devotees should stay very positive in that understanding. You know, so often we have people saying, and they're downing, oh, this is happening and that's happening, oh, it's a Kali Yuga, Prabhu. Oh, nothing is good. It's all bad. Oh, it's all bad. You know, you got those type of people that, oh, boy, it's so bad. No, it's not. Have a look around. Krishna's coming. And Prabhupada says in this next verse, whoever is giving the class, Krishna says, you know, Prabhupada says, I'm going to read it actually. One can sit down anywhere and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If the surface of the globe is over flooded with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the people of the world will be very, very happy. This is Prabhupada's promise, but we have to work hard at it. So this is really where we have to go. Krishna's everywhere, and we have to become completely convinced that somehow or another we have to work hard for Krishna in both our service and in our chanting. That nothing enlivens a person more than when we're solid and we're satisfied in our Krishna consciousness, and we're friendly, and we're compassionate, and we're not lacking anything in our lives, then we have the ability to actually preach to people. If you have hang-ups, if you are overly fanatic, if you are negative, you will not have an impact on people. Positivity attracts positivity. Negativity attracts negativity. If you by nature have worked hard on your service and how you can dedicate your life to Krishna and have worked hard in your chanting that you're actually experiencing drops of samadhi, then that becomes part of your makeup and people are attracted, are drawn to you. People for no reason whatsoever will ask, why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? What makes you so happy? Because they're miserable. People in the material world are miserable. They have nothing to hold on to. Everything is transient. Everything is temporary. But the devotees hold that samadhi within their heart. They hold Krishna within their heart. They have everything to live for. So this is really... And then you have the opportunity to preach. Like we had 100 girls come here recently from Star of the Sea. Beautiful girls. Wanting to find out about Krishna consciousness, and Sukadeva myself gave them some, and they were rapt. They were enthusiastic. All the teachers had gone to Gopals, every one of them. We love Gopals. So preaching is nectar. When we can actually bring someone to Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful. I have to tell you one story that's happened to me recently in my spiritual care provision, my chaplaincy work. I went to the hospital and there was an Indian lady laying in the bed. Poor lady. She'd been there, and I told some other devotees already, but this lady had been in hospital for 3 days and she was lonely. Her family came once or twice, a Hindu lady, and she couldn't relate to the foodstuffs they were giving her. You know, it was like Western sort of vegetarian, which was like, in a hospital, has anybody been in a hospital and had vegetarian food in a hospital? It's like, yuck, you know, steamed veggies. I mean, we like our sense satisfaction. Bring in the prasadam, boys, you know. So anyway, she had a plate of food in front of her and she's going, oh, God. You know, so then Bhakta comes in as the spiritual advisor for this hospital, you know, for Hindu people. And first she has to be convinced that I'm actually a Hare Krishna or a Hindu, you know, like, everybody, come on, this big guy can't be a Hindu. This big white guy, you know. But anyway, I said, look, I look after the Hindu people here at the hospital. I'm a Hare Krishna. Oh, that's okay, you know. And she was complaining about, look at this, you know. No one has come to visit me. I'm so lonely. I'm so depressed. I don't know what's happening to my body. I'm just completely at a loss. And in my bag, whenever I meet someone, or I do a presentation to a patient in a hospital, I give them a Bhagavad Gita. So I said, well, I've got something for you. What was her name? Anyway, let's say Devi. I've got something for you, Devi. I bought this for you. And she looked at it, and she saw that it was a Bhagavad Gita, and she says, Krishna's come. And she started crying. Krishna's come. And she put the book to her head, and she kisses it. And she was just in complete ecstasy that Krishna had come. Now I'm not lonely anymore. Krishna's here. This is the power of a devotee to bring that peace to a person. It's absolutely amazing. And so this woman was just elated that we could do this preaching. And she then was at ease, you know, that everything would be okay because Krishna is here now. So this potency is there for those of us that are going to be doing chaplaincy. Dhruva, you're in for the treat of your life. This is just such a wonderful... And what happens to you is, then you start to... These are the drops of samadhi. Then you start to realize, my God, Krishna is there. And I've brought Krishna to this individual. And then it wells up in you. Then there was another gentleman, and I'd been, again, same thing, you can't be a Hari, you can't be a Hindu. This man couldn't even speak English, not much. And I tried to give him a Bhagavad Gita, I don't speak, you know. I said, well, look, I'll leave it here for you. And I sat with him, and I did some prayers for him, and I sprayed him with some Ganges water, and, you know, and I didn't think that he was appreciative. But he was in the hospital, he had some illness, and he'd been in there for 3 weeks. So every week I would go and see him. How are you today, Mr. Agarwal? Mr. Agarwal, how are you today? Oh, no, you're no good, you know. And I would just be with him for a little bit. Then he got moved into palliative care, and the message came the other day, Bhakta, he's asking for you now. Because he was dying, he's in palliative care, and I missed out on it. I was too late. I went to the hospital to see him and he'd passed away. But the point was, he was thinking about a devotee, the messenger of Krishna. It's not me, it's the message that I was bringing. It was Krishna. And my work is to bring that message to people in those conditions. So all of us have that opportunity to work hard for Krishna. And there are so many examples in our lives, you know, and so many examples in the Bhagavatam. Like these great souls. This great soul here, you know, Barishat, he had the duty of creating children. Man, I mean, we have two kids and it was like, what the? You know? And he's going to have to produce so many children, you know, to repopulate the earth. So it's amazing. So as it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, if you are situated in transcendental position in that samadhi, you have no demand and you're not disturbed even by the greatest difficulties. If we work hard and samadhi later, working hard on our devotional career, we will have no problem in our lives. The greatest problem that will come, we'll have support from everyone. Just look at Nisringa Prabhu. The difficulty came, straight away the devotees were there for him. Be understanding, we are a family, we work together. And as a family we got different festivities, you know. And the greatest festivity that's coming up is Janmashtami. And so we are all coming together to really, hopefully, by Krishna's arrangement, we will have the premiere of Victoria coming this year. We're trying very hard. We're making all the different arrangements to see if the premiere can come. He's the leader of this state. Let's inculcate and influence him in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday I went to see the first Hindu member of parliament here in Victoria. Very lovely lady, Kaushalya. And had a three-quarter of an hour meeting with her about how we can help the devotees, how we can help the community in a to spiritualize. She's a very spiritual lady. So everything is moving in the proper direction, you know. So we have to work hard. I'll finish up by telling a little story that Prabhupada relates. There was a saintly personality sitting in complete samadhi in a cave in the Himalayas. And he was just blissfully there. And you remember Alexander the Great, he invaded India? Well, he came across this saintly person who was just sitting there and he was so astounded. He was a person who had no clothes, he had just kopans on, sitting in a cave, you know, but he was completely... And Alexander the Great said, can I do something for you? Thinking that this person was like, you know, needing something. And the sage turned around to him and said, yeah, you can move a little bit, you're casting a shadow on me. Is that all I can do for you? I don't need anything else. So when we have Krishna in our heart, we don't need anything else. But we have to work at it. So work first, samadhi later. Okay? That's Prabhupada's guarantee. Work first and foremost on our duties to both our family, our temple authorities, and our guru. Follow our duty diligently. Don't overdo it in that it compromises our chanting. Have our duty to our 16 rounds every day. Make those rounds of meditation. Find that nectar. Find the samadhi in that chanting. And you will head towards the most wonderful life. You, Prabhupada says, you will be very, very happy. A happiness that is incomparable. I'll finish here. Prabhu, anything that, any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
First of all, thank you very much for the leadership.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hari Bol.
We have got the latest about nursing culture. Krishnamurti is operating. It is the human not in the stomach, but outside, between stomach and liver.
Ah.
And they are making four holes.
Yeah.
Yep. One large hole to remove the tumor, and three holes to see the surrounding area.
Yep. He had the operation yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is one thing we have got
related. All our prayers should go out to him, okay?
He's in very good hands. Krishna
yeah.
Operating.
Yeah.
He's excellent surgeon.
Krishna's operating.
I don't know. Two Krishnas also.
Yes, Prabhu. Yep. I've retired. I'm a pensioner. No, there's some younger men. Yeah, well, actually, you're right. Transcendental senses. You know, we have senses that only are reserved in spiritual world. We take prasadam in the spiritual world. We hear kirtan, hearing, smelling, everything. And in a small amount, when everything is offered to Krishna, we are experiencing that. So as Kadambakanna Maharaj says, you can bring Vrindavan right here, right now. And if you're in samadhi, that will be the case. You use your transcendental senses then. Yeah. But, as far as the plays, we're going to... Definitely we're going to put them... They're still funny. They're still funny. Yeah. Maybe. We were thinking of doing a play with some of the devotees recently, but...
I
will dress you up in a dress. That'll be funny. You can be an old Mataji. I can see it now. Any other comment? Yeah, it's important to laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. Krishna conscious laughter is the best medicine. Don't be too serious, you know. Love life. Krishna has given you such good opportunity. Love life in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhu. Hang on, Prabhu. Just one minute. John's got a question. Sorry, John.
We see Krishna every day because when we offer something, he comes and takes it.
Yeah.
And we see the difference in the taste.
Yeah.
So Krishna is coming.
Yeah. Always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. Yes, John.
When I read that Krishna had a very playful character, I was greatly relieved.
Yeah. He's not the old autocrat sitting on a big chair with a big white beard saying, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ask a pujari if Krishna is a funny character. Any pujari that's done some work for Krishna, even at home, with your deities at home, doesn't he play tricks with you? He does all these different little things that you think, oh, Krishna, you're so cheeky. You know? Or you're dressing the deities here, you know. You have those experiences. Krishna actually relates to the devotees.
It's my own nature.
Yeah.
That's my nature.
To be?
My nature always was like that.
To be happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
To be playful.
And you're part of Krishna. We're part and parcel of Krishna, simultaneously one with and different from. So interrelate. So Krishna's fun. When you read Krishna's pastimes, you know, when he steals the gopis' dresses, I mean, he's so cheeky. You know, he's so much fun and they're sitting up in the chair laughing, you know, all the cowherd boys. It's fun. Krishna consciousness is fun. It's not dour. It's not, you know, it's fun. We've got to have fun in Krishna consciousness. That makes it really interesting and people will come in their droves. When they see how happy the devotees are, on Harinam and on Kirtan. Actually, you know, I was listening to a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, Nectar of Devotion series. If anybody really wants to hear some wonderful lectures by Srila Prabhupada, they're the series of lectures where Prabhupada was giving the Nectar of Devotion summaries in Vrindavan in the 70s. And there was one where Prabhupada was saying that actually we chant this Hare Krishna mantra for everyone, for the animals, for the trees, for the insects, for everything, for the microbes, everything. And so that's why we in the Hare Krishna movement chant loudly. So when we're in the car park of the Westgate Bridge, we wind down the windows and let them hear a bit of the holy name as well, you know. So anyway, Prabhu, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.